Good morning and welcome to our services here this morning at First Baptist Church of Land O'Lakes. Let me make just a couple of announcements before we get into our main part of our service, beginning with tonight. Tonight is our Christmas in October special service that we do each year. You notice we have stockings, we have some trees in the back already. It's not a pine tree forest yet, but it will look like Christmas in here tonight if some of you help. Okay, so immediately following the service this morning, we need to clear the choir loft. We take down these walls and move all the chairs. So if a few of you teenagers and men can help us with that, it really takes about 10, 15 minutes if we have several people helping. And then at 2 o'clock, we are meeting here, 2:30 to decorate the sanctuary to get it ready for this evening. And then we need some help with cleanup tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So it's going to look like Christmas, and then we get a break, so we don't have to look like Christmas all through Thanksgiving. But then we'll look like Christmas again during the month of December. But we need help with that. For those of you that are staying for the dinner, which I hope is everyone, we have a potluck dinner tonight. Please bring your food items in disposable pans. Those aluminum foil ones that you, or aluminum ones, I don't know what they call them, but disposable pans that we can, when you bring it here, we put them in the warmers, we'll keep it warm. Unless it's something that needs refrigerated, then we'll actually put it in the refrigerator and keep it cool. But we have plenty of refrigerator space, plenty of warmer space. If you can please bring your food by 5:45 tonight, there'll be people out there in the kitchen to take it from you and keep it warm until the time of the dinner after the service. Please stay and join us for that dinner. Now, also this week, we have a couple other things going on. First on the list is November 2nd on Friday night, our College and Career Friday Night Fellowship. That'll be 7 o'clock at the Templetons this coming Friday night. And then Saturday, we have a men's breakfast, and we have a special speaker that will be with us Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for some special meetings, Dr. Chris Shepler. He'll be with us speaking about Calvinism and some of the teachings there and things we need to learn regarding that. But he'll also be speaking briefly at the men's breakfast this coming Saturday. So we'd encourage you to be a part of that, men and teenage boys. You're allowed to come as well. But we do have a problem. There was a sign-up sheet back on the activity table, and it is gone. So if you signed up for that men's breakfast, could you please do us a favor and go back and sign up again? Because no one can find the original sign-up sheet. If you happen to be the guy that signed up and stuck it in your pocket or your Bible by accident, feel free to put it back. We're looking forward to a good men's prayer breakfast and then that Sound Doctrine Conference Sunday through Wednesday of next week. Not this week, but next week. Please mark your calendars and plan on being here for that. Now, in conjunction with that, we will have combined Sunday school again next week. So those of you that joined us for Sunday school this week with Brother Kopp, join us again next week for a combined Sunday school class with Dr. Chris Shepler. Well, let's ask the Lord's blessing upon our service this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for the awesome privilege we have of having a copy of your word in our hands and to be able to take it and to learn from it and to apply it to our lives. We thank you for our pastor and pray, Father, that as he preaches this morning, the word that you've worked in his heart and his life this week would have free reign. The Holy Spirit would use it to work in our hearts and our lives as well. We pray for our lives to be challenged. Help us, Lord, to walk out of here changed. We pray, Father, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that today they would hear and understand and accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh Lord. God we serve. Amen. If you have your songbook number 537, if you don't, there's one in the pew right in front of you there. Number 537. If you're physically able to, would you please stand as we sing a few songs together? Jesus Saves, verses 1 and 4.
We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward to the Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
And a new one for you here, number 347. Pastor and I were talking about his sermon today, and what a wonderful match this is to the theme of his message. It's a new one to you, number 347, So Great Salvation.
So great salvation God has given. So great salvation, Christ his Son. Oh, don't neglect it, let God perfect it. So great salvation our God has won.
Excellent. Y'all sang that like you sang it before. Let's do the first verse again to catch everybody up. Ready?
So great salvation our God has given. So great salvation through Christ his Son. Oh, don't neglect it. Let God perfect it. So great salvation our God has won. So great salvation our God has given. To those who know him and trust his Son, the cross of Calvary won the victory, so great salvation our God has won.
And a few pages over, number 336, My Hope is in the Lord, singing just verses 1, 3, and 4.
My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price for my sins at Calvary. For me, he died, for me, he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. And now for me he stands before the Father's throne. He shows his wound and names me as his own. For me life and light he freely gives. His grace has planned it all, 'tis mine to believe and recognize his work of love and Christ receive. For me he died, lasting life and light he freely gives.
Take a moment now and greet somebody around you today. Sing it together, the refrain again. For me, he died. For me, he lives. And life and light he freely gives. Aren't you glad it's freely given today? Thank God for that, Pastor.
I do hope you will join us tonight. Now, by the way, if I sound funny, I feel funny. I woke up this past week with a head cold, and it's still with me, so bear with me today, please. If you're visiting with us, this is not my normal voice. It usually sounds a little bit better, but anyway, glad you're here today. Today is a very special day here at First Baptist Church. We want to give our missionaries a love offering. And tonight's service will be just for that reason. When you come in tonight, you'll receive a little small Christmas stocking. And we'd like for you to put your offering in that. And at the conclusion of the service, we'll have two trees up here. You'll walk forward and hang your stocking on that tree. What a beautiful sight it is. Represents all the offerings we want to give to the missionaries to be a blessing to them. In the past, we were able to give about $500 per missionary. And it's our desire to do that again. But however, since last time, we've added three new missionaries. So it means we need to take up a little more extra money. So we just encourage you to pray, to ask God what part he'd have you to give. Help us to reach that goal, to be a blessing to our missionaries. God bless you. And we pray you join us tonight. If you've never been to a Christmas October service, you don't want to miss it. It's a wonderful service. The whole church is decorated beautifully. Please come and be with us tonight for that service. Brian, if you come and ask the Lord's blessing upon this offering. Also pray for missionaries in Myanmar, Tim and Michelle Falk, and the blessing upon tonight's service too.
Let's pray. Kind Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to join together as Christians, to worship you, to hear your word, and to learn from it. Father, we pray for our missionaries in Myanmar. Father, I pray for Tim and Michelle Falk as they do the work there. I pray that you encourage them, bless them, help them to be a tool in your hand. We ask now for this offering that you bless it and might be able to minister through our church here and meet our needs. We thank you, Father, for all they give, and I pray that you bless it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
So much for that this morning, ladies. If you have your Bibles, if you can, please turn them to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. If you do not have a Bible with you this morning, there is one in the pew in front of you. It is page 1292, Hebrews chapter 2. And if you are physically able, if you can, please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? If we can all read together verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for Sunday school, Lord, just what we heard and the encouragement there, Lord, that you are the Lord of Lords and you are King of Kings, Lord. And Lord, thank you so much for sending your Son to die on the cross, Lord, that we might have salvation through him. Lord, I pray that you would please be with Pastor this morning. I pray that you would just remove any distractions from us, Lord. Help us to just think on your word. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us as individuals. Lord, I pray that we would grow as a church. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our nation. Lord, help us to be one nation under God. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
When engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll, at the end of doubt and peril is eternity. Though fear and conflict seize your soul, but just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it home. When surrounded by the blackness of the darkest night, oh, how lonely death can be. At the end of this long tunnel is a shining light, for death is swallowed up in victory. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven, of touching a hand and finding it God's, of breathing new air and finding it celestial, of waking up in glory and finding it. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory, be glory for me.
Oh, what a wonderful thought to wake it up one day and find in your home. Turn your Bibles again to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Let me first of all say how grateful and thankful I am to be a Christian, to know my sins forgiven, to know that I have eternal life, that I have a home in heaven. I'm so grateful for that. And not only that, of all the blessings we receive every day in life because of our Savior. But the greatest blessing of all is our salvation. And it's more like to talk about our great salvation. In fact, the verse there in chapter 2, verse 3, I hope you underline that phrase, that how shall we escape if we neglect what? So great a salvation. I want to talk about our great salvation this morning, but let me first of all give you some background of why this book was written. Of course, the book was written to Jewish believers, and that's the name Hebrews. Written to Jewish believers. And many of these believers that had been led to Christ were on the verge of drifting away, of falling back in their old lifestyle. Because of the persecution of Rome, Rome tolerated Judaism, but did not tolerate Christianity. They persecuted Christianity. And not only the persecution of being a Christian, but also these Jews, because of rejection and pressure of their family members of leaving Judaism and going to Christianity, many of them were tempted to go back into Judaism. And throughout the book of Hebrews, there are several warnings that the writer gave to these Jews that were tempted to drift back into their old lifestyle. And so we're going to start with the very first warning here this morning. And it's there again in chapter 2, verses 3. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great of salvation? The word great there means great in magnitude, so vast and so great. Before we get in the message, let me say this, how excited I am about this message today. Not because I'm preaching it, but because of the truths I want to share with you. So I encourage you to take notes, to listen carefully. Don't allow my voice to distract you this morning. And write down a few thoughts I want to share with you. Remember this old country preacher said, I don't believe in notes for preaching. You can't put fire on paper. But I found you sure started a good fire with paper. Amen? So I hope you write these down. And I want to share with you some great truths about our great salvation. So what makes our salvation so great? Let me give you the first of the three. The first one is because of the superiority of his person. The superiority of the person of Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews was showing these Jews that Jesus Christ is superior of all the Old Testament saints and people that they admired so greatly. In chapter 1, he said he's superior to the Old Testament prophets. He also is superior to the angels. In chapter 3 and 4, he's superior to Moses. In chapter 5, he's superior to Aaron. And throughout the book, how Jesus Christ is greater than all those of the Jews thought so highly of. But let's begin, first of all, show that he is a superior messenger. Jesus Christ is a superior messenger. Go back to chapter 1, please, in verse 1. Here he compares Jesus Christ to the Old Testament prophets and how he is superior to them. Chapter 1, verse 1. He says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by who? By the prophets. But verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So basically, he's saying Jesus Christ is a superior messenger than the prophets and the angels. But also, he has a superior message. Go back to chapter 2, please. Chapter 2, look in verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2, he talks about a message from the angels and how Christ is superior to them also. In verse 2, it says, for the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward. Let me test your Bible knowledge. When did the angels speak? It talks about the word that was spoken by the angels, which receives a great recompense and reward to those who disobey it. It was talking about the law of Moses given at Mount Sinai was delivered to Moses by the angels. So that's what it's talking about here. For the word spoken by the angels was steadfast. Talking about the law of the Old Testament. But he says in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by who? The Lord. So Jesus Christ, the reason our salvation is so great is the superiority of Jesus Christ. He is a greater messenger. He has a greater message. Therefore, we have so great a salvation. Number two, the second point. We saw the superiority of his person. Now, looking at the saving process, he said, we have a great salvation because of the saving process. What are you talking about? Now, please listen. The saving process is what Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and shall do to save us. Don't miss that now. The saving process is what Jesus Christ has done, is doing, and shall do to save us. First of all, the saving process is seen in the three appearings of Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 9, please. Please don't let me lose you here. Chapter 9, the three appearings of Christ. The saving process is represented by the three appearings of Jesus Christ, mentioned here in chapter 9. Look in verse 26, the first appearing in chapter 9, verse 26. And if you don't mind, I like for you to underline certain words in your Bible. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. For then must he, talking about Jesus Christ, have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the world, it said, hath he, what? Appeared. Past tense. Hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So the first appearing mentioned here happened 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, and put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. He talks about hath he appeared. The second appearing is in verse 26. Verse 26. It talks about here, I'm sorry, verse 24. We just read verse 26, didn't we? Verse 26, his past appearing. Verse 24, it's talking about Christ's present appearing. Look in verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but where? Into heaven itself, notice here, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So verse 26, it says, he hath appeared. Verse 24, it says, now to appear. Verse 28, talks about Christ's future appearing. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, unto them that look for him, what's it say? Shall he appear? So verse 26, it said, he hath appeared, past tense. Verse 24, it says, now to appear, presently. And verse 28, shall he appear? Hope you underline that. Hath he appeared? Now to appear, shall he appear? Each one of these appearings represents the vastness of our salvation. So let's begin, first of all. What did these three appearings accomplish? What did Jesus Christ accomplish for us at each one of these appearings? The first one, his past appearing, salvation from the penalty of our sin. Salvation from the penalty of our sin. Look again in verse 26. For then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the world, talking about the consummation of all ages, it said, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The word put away means abolish, canceled, taken away. Aren't you glad your sins have been taken away? When Jesus Christ appeared 2,000 years ago and died on the cross, shed his precious blood, your sin was put away and abolished in the sight of God. What a great truth. My sins were paid for. So at 2,000 ago, he saved me from the penalty of my sin. What's the penalty of sin? Death in a place called hell. He saved me from hell by the first coming when he put away my sin on the cross. Now, please listen. To most Christians, that's all they know about their salvation. Though that's great. But salvation is more than just a fire escape. I want you to understand that. Yes, he died and put away my sin 2,000 ago. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm going to heaven because of the payment he made for me. But he didn't stop there. But I want you to notice, if we move to the next one, this coming to this earth to pay for your sin was planned before the foundation of the world. Salvation was not an afterthought of God. When Adam and Eve sinned, it did not surprise God. God already knew about it. Remember, he put them in the Garden of Eden and said, you can eat of any tree in the garden, you may freely eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof, for the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely what? So God knew that. But listen, please. Before he ever spoke the world into existence, he planned your salvation. Listen to me. He had you in mind. He was thinking of David Peterson before he created this world. He was thinking of you. He said, before the foundation world, look at the verse again, verse 26. For then must he often suffered since when? The foundation world. That's in the mind of God. Before he laid the foundation of this earth, he planned a way that he might provide salvation for you. If you would please, go with me now, hold your finger here, to the next book to your right, 1 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see another verse that deals with this salvation plan from the foundation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, 18, please. You got Hebrews, James, then 1 Peter. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed, means bought or purchased, with corruptible things as silver and gold, from the vain conversation received the tradition of your fathers. But verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. Verse 20. Who verily was what? Foreordained before the foundation of the world. The fact that Jesus Christ came and died, shed his precious blood, that was foreordained by God himself before he laid the foundation of this earth. He was thinking of you and I and provided a way of salvation. Do not turn there. But in Revelation 13:8, it talks about Jesus Christ, the Lamb. It says, the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Wow. So the salvation we have from the penalty of our sin, was planned before he ever created this earth. But it was made possible by his death. It says that he hath appeared to put away sin by what? The sacrifice of himself. Now listen carefully. This salvation you and I have did not come because we made any sacrifice. It came because he made the sacrifice. He sacrificed himself for you. So listen, please. The first aspect of our salvation was provided at his first appearing. When he appeared on this earth 2,000 years ago, and he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He saved me from the penalty of our sin. Number two, and boy, he gets excited. He didn't stop there. The next one, talking about salvation from the power of sin. Salvation from the power of sin. That was accomplished by his present appearing. Look in verse 24, please. Back to chapter 9, Hebrews 9, 24. This salvation, the second part, from the power of our sin, is made possible by his present appearing, Hebrews 9, 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which is the figures of the true, but where? Into heaven itself, now, presently, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So listen to me, please. When he came the first time, he saved us from sin's penalty. He died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended back to heaven. And what is he doing in heaven? He's there now. I'm going to show you how he's going to do it. Saving us from the very power of sin. Now, the penalty of sin was accomplished by his death. The salvation of sin's power is accomplished by his life. Hold your finger here in Hebrews. Go to Romans 5, please. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, page 1197, please. 1197, Romans 5. We'll look in verse 10. Romans 5, 10. Again, page 1197 for those using a church Bible, Romans 5:10. Notice what it says here. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his what? The death of his son. But I like the next two words. What does it say? Much more. Listen, please. The salvation God offers you is much more than just salvation from sin's penalty. It says much more being reconciled. We shall be saved by his what? Life. Now, I thought we were saved by his death. Yes, you were, from sin's penalty. But you're saved by his life from sin's power. Because he lives today in heaven for you. Remember the song we sang? For me he died, for me he what? Lives. And everlasting life he offers and freely gives. So he lives. Because he's living today, he's saving us from the very power of sin. And this is achieved by his intercession for us. Go back to Hebrews, please. This time in chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Quite often I receive cards and little notes from people in this church saying, Pastor, I'm praying for you. I love those cards. I'm so grateful when someone prays for me. But you know what thrills my heart more than anything else? It's to know that the Son of God is praying for me. And he's praying for you. That's what he's doing in heaven for you right now. Hebrews 7:25, please. Hebrews 7:25. It says, wherefore he, the Lord Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost, means completely, that cometh to God come to God by him, seeing that he what? Ever liveth to make intercession for them. So salvation from the sin's penalty accomplished by his first coming. Salvation of sin's power is by his present appearing in heaven. And what is he doing there? He's praying for you. He's interceding in your behalf. Remember when Christ spoke to Peter? Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired thee to sift you as wheat. But what did he say? I prayed for you. My friend, Satan desires to have you and sift you as wheat. But my friend, Jesus is praying for you. He's making intercession for you. Romans 8:34, it is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So I have been saved from sin's penalty by his death. I am being saved from sin's power by his life. Number three, the third aspect of our salvation talks about the third appearing, salvation from the presence of sin. The presence of sin will be accomplished at Christ's future appearing. Go back now to Hebrews 9, verse 28. Hebrews 9:28. Salvation from the presence of sin will be accomplished when Christ appears in the future. Verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall, notice future tense, shall he appear the second time without sin and salvation. Now, what will happen when he comes again? We know the rapture, we shall be called up to be with him, the Lord in the air. The believer will receive a new body. How many are looking forward to a new body? Amen. And it says here in Philippians 3:20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I don't know about you, the older I get, the more I look forward to that body. But also, we will be made just like Jesus Christ. In 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, listen carefully. This saving process that makes our salvation so great began 2,000 years ago when Christ appeared the first time to put away sin by the sacrifice himself. He saved us from sin's penalty. He didn't stop there. Much more. He went to heaven now to appear for us. And he's praying for you, saving you from the very power of sin. He didn't stop there. He's coming back again and saving you from the very presence of sin. Can somebody say praise the Lord? That's his salvation. It's so great. So everyone here today, if you're saved, you can do this. You can say this. I have been saved. I am being saved. and I shall be saved. That's the process. I have been saved from sin's penalty when I trusted Christ as Savior because of his first appearing. I am being saved from sin's power because he's appearing in heaven for me, praying for me. And one day I shall be saved from sin's presence when he comes back for me. That's that great salvation. That's what he talks about. But so many Christians, all they know about is the first one. Though that's great. Christ died for me. Amen. Christ lives for me. Christ is coming for me. That's what makes your salvation so great. And so that's what it is. Now, do not turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says this. And notice it talks about the three aspects. It said, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He delivered us, he doth deliver us, and it goes on to say, and yet deliver us. Now, the context there, Paul's talking about from physical deliverance. Because Paul's life was threatened many times. And God delivered him in the past physically and doth deliver him, and one day we'll do that. But the same is true spiritually. He delivered me from sin's penalty. Hallelujah. He is now presently delivered me from sin's power and one day delivered me from sin's presence. What a great salvation. So what makes our salvation so great? Number one, the superiority of his person. Number two, the saving process. And lastly, the greatness can also be seen in the surety of punishment. The surety of punishment. Go back now to Hebrews chapter 2, please. Hebrews chapter 2. Talking about the punishment of neglect. The punishment of neglect. First of all, he talks about the punishment under the old covenant. Look again in verse 2. Chapter 2, verse 2. He said, for if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, talking about the word, the law given to Moses on Mount Sinai by the angels, it said it was steadfast. It goes on to say, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense reward. Those who broke the law, there was a penalty to pay. But he goes on to say, that punishment was because of disobedience. Now there's punishment under the new covenant. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The old covenant was the law given at Mount Sinai. The mediator was Moses. The new covenant was the mediator of Jesus Christ given at Mount Calvary. Talking about the salvation covenant. And basically what he's saying here, if in the Old Testament days, God dealt with those who disobeyed his word, then surely he will deal with those who ignore or neglect his word given by his son in these last days. Hold your finger in chapter 2. Go to chapter 12, please. Do not miss this verse. Hebrews 12, verse 24. Same book, chapter 12. Talks about escape. How shall we escape? Hebrews 12, 24, please. It says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Remember, the new covenant was made at Mount Calvary by Jesus Christ and his death for us. If Jesus, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Notice it going, it says, see that you refuse him not that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on the earth about Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Talking about the surety of punishment. Now the punishment is of cause of neglect. This punishment would not be loss of salvation, but it might lead them to the chastening hand of God and the loss of rewards of the judgment seat. Now go back to chapter 2, please. Basically, it said, if God punished those who broke the first covenant, the old covenant, how much more would he punish those who neglect the new covenant? It says, who are the people he's talking to here? Who's the people of neglect? Look again in chapter 2, verse 3. He said, how shall we? Notice the author is not speaking to unbelievers. He includes himself. how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It says there in verse 1, therefore we, it said we ought to give more earnest heed. Basically, note that verse 3 does not say, how shall sinners escape if they reject? But how shall we as believers escape if we neglect? Spiritual deterioration begins when Christians start to neglect their great salvation. Let me say that again. Spiritual deterioration begins when Christians start to neglect their great salvation. The word neglect means to be careless of, to be negligent, to disregard, to give very little attention to. Now, you say, Pastor, neglect. Let me give you some signs of neglect. Are you neglecting your salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? What are some signs? Go back to verse 1 of chapter 2. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I like the two important phrases in this one verse. First of all, it said to give the more earnest heed. Circle those words, earnest heed, to those things which we heard, lest any time we let them slip. Circle the word slip. Earnest heed and the word slip. These are the key words. Both words are nautical terms. The first words, earnest heed, refers to securing a ship with an anchor or by tying it to a dock. The second word, slip, means to drift away. It was often used of a ship that had not been allowed, that had been allowed to drift off course or away because it was not anchored. What he's saying here, so many Christians drift away from the Lord. They go back to their old lifestyle. They begin to do things they used to do before they were saved. Some of you used to be more faithful to this church. You were more faithful in Sunday school. You were faithful in your tithing. You were faithful in your attendance. You were faithful in prayer meeting, but you have drifted away. Some of you used to be more faithful in your personal devotions. You'd read your Bible and pray every day. You used to be faithful in your witness, sharing Christ, handing out tracts, but you have drifted away. So many of us, many in this building, are a long way from where we used to be or where we ought to be, but we have drifted away. Do you find the Spirit of God speaking to your heart? Are you see yourself drifted away from where you used to be for the Lord? What's the cause of drifting away? The cause is the word neglect. Neglect? Have you become careless and neglect your great salvation? Because of your disregard or lack of attention, you've drifted away from your Savior. No helps me to stay faithful. You helps me to stay, keep doing what I ought to do. Focus on that great salvation. Focus what He did for me, what He is doing for me, and what He shall do. Woo! That encourages me. That lights my fire. That wants me to get faithful again. But when we take that for granted and forget about it and give no attention to it, we begin to drift. And drifting so slow, we don't even see it. Many years ago, a man in this church took my family out on a boat to go deep sea fishing. And he said, I'm going to take you to my favorite spot. I always catch fish here. He took me there. We noticed right about a mile offshore, we saw a lighthouse. He said, that's how I know I'm there. But he did not put the anchor down. We fished about an hour, and all of a sudden, the lighthouse was there, was now about a half a mile down there. Why? We began to drift. We didn't even know it. It was so slow and so gradual, we got away from there. Many of you used to be faithful for God, but now the God was right there. Now He's way down there. Why? You begin to drift because you're neglecting the salvation. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? God brought judgment for those who broke the first covenant. My friend, there's punishment for those who break the second one. So I encourage you, however God speaks to you. You say, Pastor, I'm right where I've always been. Praise God, hallelujah. But some of you are not. I don't know who you are. I don't have anybody in mind. But I know room this size. Some of you are not where you used to be. Some of you are a little drifted away. You know who you are. You know the God speaking to you. The warning here is to secure oneself to the truth of God's word. being careful not to drift away from what you have learned or what you know is right to do. Close your Bibles, please. Could it be that the Spirit of God has put his finger on one area of your life where you have drifted? You've got away from the Lord, and you find yourself going back to your old behavior, your old actions, your old lifestyle. My friend, God is grieved and wants you back. Aren't you glad the Lord forgives? Aren't you glad he draws us back to himself? Today, I've been speaking to those that know Christ as Savior and how he warns us about the idea of drifting lest we slip because we neglect our great salvation. But here today, maybe you don't even have the great salvation. Remember the three aspects of our salvation? The first one God offers to you right now. If you have never received Christ to be your Savior, my friend, Jesus Christ died on the cross, gave himself for you that you might spend eternity in heaven with him. He loved you so much, he'd rather die than live without you. You ever thought about that? He loved you so much, he'd rather die than live without you. And he died on the cross to pay for your sin. And the Bible said he offers you eternal life. My friend, that's what he did in the past. And for those of you that know Christ, he's living for you today. He's in heaven praying for you. He's lifting your name before the very throne of heaven for his Father, mentioning you by name, praying for you to have victory over sin's power. And praise God, hallelujah, he's coming again to save you from sin's presence. But my friend, let me close with this. Have you ever received his gift of eternal life? Remember, it's not by any sacrifice you make. He said he put us apart, our sin apart, by the sacrifice of himself. Through what he did for you, you can go to heaven to be with him. Not by anything that you do, rather what he did and finished at the cross. Your job is to receive it. Let's bow together, please. Excuse me. If you're here today and you never trusted Christ as Savior, why not do it right now? God offers you a free gift. It's called forgiveness. It's called a home in heaven. It's called eternal life. It's been bought and paid for. The price has been paid. You must receive it. You receive it by receiving Christ as your Savior. And you can do it right now. In the quietness of your own mind, you can talk to the true and living God and get the matter, the issue settled. You can trust Christ as Savior. You say, Pastor, I like to do that. How do I do that? You can do it by the means of a simple prayer. The prayer does not save you. It's just the means by which you place your trust in Christ to save you. He's the Savior. But if you never did that before and would like to do it today, let's do it right now. Talk to God and maybe say something like this. Just say, Dear God of heaven, I acknowledge, I admit that I'm a sinner. And because I've sinned, I've earned. I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, appeared 2,000 years ago to die in my place, to pay for my sin. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose again. And right here today, I'm trusting him to forgive me, to save me, and to give me eternal life. I'm trusting Christ as my Savior. My friend, if you prayed that prayer and you trusted Christ as Savior, heaven's now your home. It's the promise of God to you the moment you did that. But I'd like to know if anyone did that today. I want to pray for those who made that decision this morning. I'm not going to have you forward or put you on the spot or point you out. I just want to pray for you. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one be put on the spot. If what I said made sense to you and you prayed with me to receive Christ as your Savior, right where you're at, his head's bowed and eyes are closed, would you simply raise your hand so I can pray for you this morning? Anyone at all? Here's my hand, Pastor. I trust in Christ. Please pray for me. Anyone at all this morning? I made that decision. Pray for me today. All right, heads are bowed, eyes still closed. Pastor, I am a Christian, but I realize I've been drifting. I'm not where I used to be in this area of my life. I used to be more faithful in church. I used to be more faithful in prayer meeting, more faithful in Sunday school. I used to be more faithful in reading my Bible and praying. but I've drifted away. I allowed other things to come into my life. It's because I neglect this great salvation given to me. My friend, if that's your prayer, and you acknowledge that, so I can pray for you as your pastor, would you raise your hand this morning so I can pray for you? Pastor, I've been drifting. Would you pray for me this morning? Anyone at all? Hold your hand up high. Yes, yes. Several here. Pastor, I've been drifting. I'm not where I used to be. Would you pray for me also? Anyone else? Yes, I see your hand in the back. Anyone else? Anyone else? This one. God bless you. Anyone else? Yes, so many. Father in heaven, we thank you for the indication of hands today that many believers indicate that they've been drifting. They're not where they used to be in areas of their life. And Father, this moment, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. And I pray as God's soul may lead them, they may come to the altar and make things right with the Savior they've drifted them from. And help us to not neglect our salvation, which is so great. Father, may people respond as God leads today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand.